What's up, you guys? Every Catholic year ends with a great solemnity before Advent begins. It's the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King. And the full title, actually, how's it going, man? Anne-Marie? Sorry. Gonna need more room for the legs.
Yes, of course.
Where are we heading right now? What reboot?
We are heading to Hinsdale.
Hinsdale. Anne-Marie does our coaching for reboot. She knows where we're going. I just get on planes and go talk about Jesus.
Sold out.
Yeah. So every Catholic year ends with the solemnity of Jesus Christ, the King of the Universe. Okay. How's that for a title? Jesus, the King of the Universe. Which means every single thing in your life, every single thing in the world, everything. He is the King. I got three takeaways to think about for this great solemnity. One, the reading that the church chooses for this Sunday's gospel is stunningly beautiful. It's Jesus on the cross with the good thief hanging next to him. And he says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. Sorry, it chokes me up thinking about this. Guys, when we think of earthly kings, we think of people who have everything. And they not only have everything, they have all the power that they need to grab anything that they want. Jesus, in his typical style, likes to turn things upside down. That's how he conquers. He took death, and he didn't do away with death for his people, but he turned it upside down, and he makes death the point of life now. This is where we pass into new life. He takes suffering and pain. He turns it to our points of union with God and our opportunities for heroism. He doesn't take the suffering and pain out of life when you follow him. He transforms it. And he did this with kingship. You see, we see kings as people who have it all and can take it all. And on the cross, we see Jesus talking about the kingdom and giving it to someone. And instead of being a guy who has it all, here's a guy who's stripped naked. He's stripped of literally everything. And he's bleeding out, and his life is pouring out of him, and his face is getting pale and ashen, and he has nothing. And what does he do? He's not a king who's taking more. Here's a king who, when he has nothing, is giving more. Guys, he reveals to us in that moment what true royalty is, what true magnanimity is, what true power is. But he also gives us a word of hope. When you're in those moments of life where you feel like you're drained of everything, where everything's been plucked and taken from you, you're tired. I know there's some moms watching me right now who know exactly what I'm talking about. In those minor ways where those kids are like, you know, keeping you up at night, or maybe someone has done an injustice to you and God's calling you to forgive. Guys, when a Christian is knocked down and you feel just drained of life or you feel wounded or hurt, that's not the moment where God's abandoned you. And that's not the moment where you've lost all dignity. That's your time to shine. That's your time when you have nothing left to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to give more. I think of little Chiara Badano, first beatified person from Generation X. She died of cancer when she was 18 years old in 1990. And when she went through a procedure after which she couldn't walk, she said, I still have my heart, and with that I can love. And she gave herself to service while she was dying and trying to cheer up people at the hospital who were down and out. Guys, that's Christian dignity. I love the words of St. Paul. You know, in our weakness, power reaches perfection. And he was talking about the ways that he struggled with weakness. So don't forget your dignity when you're down and out. That's lesson number one. That's the first takeaway from this great solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. For lesson two, we're going to talk to the priest who booked this reboot, Father Burke. Father Burke?
Yes.
Father Burke Masters. Father Burke Masters, who's actually the chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. How cool is that? Though, Cubs fans, I'm really sorry. The Pope is apparently a White Sox fan. You might feel spiritually abandoned, but you're not. Jesus still loves you, even though he doesn't love the Cubs as much, apparently. Anyway, we're going to talk to Father Burke Masters about the second takeaway for the great solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, and what it means for our lives. All right. Join us for the ride, which in this moment isn't really going anywhere because it's Chicago during rush hour. Yeah. All right, I'm at the parish with Father Burke.
Greetings, everyone.
Yeah, and I want to talk about putting God first. You did that in a powerful way in your own life. You could have been a pro baseball player. Tell us your story.
Yeah, so I'm a convert to the faith. When I was 18 years old, I became Catholic. I went on to play baseball at Mississippi State University. That was my dream and my God, honestly. I got to play in the College World Series a little bit with the White Sox in the minor leagues. Obviously, that dream didn't pan out. Then I wanted to become general manager of the Cubs or White Sox, and God called me to be a priest.
Hallelujah.
Been a priest now 23 years.
Do you regret not becoming a pro baseball player?
Not at all. I actually tell kids.
Do you ever have any day where it's like...
Maybe. Okay. Maybe when they're in the World Series or something, thinking, I could have done that better or whatever. But honestly, I tell the kids, I thank God I didn't get what I wanted.
Yeah.
And kids don't believe me.
That's
but
awesome.
Being a priest now 23 years, I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So Jesus being king means that he comes first before everything else in your life. When you give everything to him and make him first, he doesn't take everything from you. That's the surprise.
That's been the biggest lesson, I think, in my life is I thought I was giving up baseball by becoming a priest. You know, that was my passion. Now I get to be a priest, and I'm chaplain for the Chicago Cubs. And you know, I had a chance to work out with the team before
so cool.
the World Series in 2016. So I think when we offer back to God all the things that he's given us and say, God, this is all yours, he takes it, blesses it, purifies it, and gives it back to us in ways we never imagined. And that's what happens at Mass, right?
Literally.
We offer
that's
bread
it.
And wine, and he takes it and makes it his own body and blood.
We put ourselves on the altar.
Exactly.
To be offered up through him, with him, in him, be transformed into something totally amazing. Okay, fangirl question. What do you see about these guys that everybody looks up to from the outside when you're inside as a chaplain? You get an angle on these people that nobody else gets.
Yeah. You see, I see that they're regular guys who, like you and I, everybody's looking for God, whether they realize it or not. And I see some guys who know their identity as beloved children of God. And then I also see guys who baseball is their God. Mm. And I try to help them with that identity piece because I've seen guys retire and crash and burn. And I think it's because they've so identified themselves as ball players when their career is over, they start to grasp onto things because they don't know who they are.
Wow.
Then you have guys like Mike Sweeney, who we know who transitioned very smoothly into retirement, and yes. he knows his identity as a beloved child of God. He puts God first and a very smooth transition.
Yeah. Hi, Mike. You're the man. Okay, you struggle with this, I mean, on every level in life, no matter what you're doing, whether it's pro baseball or a job or a ministry. I can literally start to identify myself with what I'm doing or how many views will this video get. And the father's like, you're my son.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in that.
Yeah.
You know, that's incredible, man.
You are my beloved son in whom I delight, right?
Yeah.
And that's, if we really allowed those words to sink in, it would transform every life.
In whom I delight. Tangent. As a dad, I have to say that to my kids. It's a phrase I drop in conversation, because not gracefully, because I don't know if there's a graceful way to do it. I just say like, hey, I delight in you. And I just want you to know that as my kid, you make me happy. Because that teaches them the Father's love and just how to rest in that for a minute.
And there's nothing they can do to earn your love, right?
That's it.
Nothing. Oftentimes what they do is they're not earning your love.
Yeah.
But you still love them anyway. And think about how much God the Father loves us as his children.
Amen.
Not because of what we do, but because we're created in his image and likeness.
So we're putting him first. It's not as a lawgiver that we're putting first. Just to be obedient under him, though that's part of it, but we're putting love first.
Yeah.
That's it. Now, as a priest, you battle with this in people's lives all the time. And it's amazing when you think of, if we could see what the angels saw, when we don't put God first, we'd realize how stupid it is. Like, people literally put sports before God who aren't professional athletes.
Mm-hmm.
They're just watching the game. It's like, you might as well put incense around your TV.
Yeah.
Anyway, so how much are you struggling with that battle as a priest, just to get people to come to Mass, and like guys are like, no, it's for my wife. I'm waking up and doing, I don't want to be an extremist, so I'm going to watch football for 4 hours today instead. I don't want to be extreme, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell me about that battle.
It's every day, right?
Yeah.
Seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be added unto you. My family, we put sports before God, you know, my whole childhood. And now I realize when we put God first, everything falls in the right order.
Mm.
And God wants, you know, that's why priests we're part of holy orders, because evil brings chaos into the world, and Jesus gave us holy orders to bring order back into the world. So our role is to help people put God first. Mm. And when you don't, we've all done it before, and things don't work out well when God isn't first.
Amen.
And so I see as a pastor, you know, trying to keep sports out of Sunday mornings, you know, even in Catholic schools, it's a challenge because it's the only time sometimes, you know, fields are available.
Amen. Dude, can I see the ring?
So, great 2016 championship with the Chicago Cubs. I always use this as an opportunity to say, the rings are fun, but what I want is that crown of eternal glory that St. Paul talks about.
Amen. So that ring is still kind of cool.
It is pretty cool. I wouldn't celebrate Mass with a big rock on, but it is kind of fun. It's great to share with the kids.
Thanks, brother. And thanks for hosting Reboot and being an evangelistic priest. Thanks for everything you do.
Thank you, man. We're so glad that you're here. Thanks for being here.
We're seriously grateful. Praise God. So the solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe, number one, remember that when you're weak, His glory can shine through you. That's not the time that you're waiting for the next win. That's when you show your royal kingship in Jesus as you hang with Him on the cross. Number two, you keep Him first because He's the King of the Universe, and sports or insert whatever stupid false god that we're worshiping here does not come first. And all of life gets out of order when you don't keep Him first. But number three, remember your dignity. The fact that your Father is a king, the King of the Universe, means that you are royalty in Him. And so many of the problems in your life come from you forgetting that fact. And holding this epic ring reminds me of a little story that I'm literally going to read to you. This is from a kid's story about a young man who was a prince and forgot his royalty. And this might sound silly, I'm reading a kid's story to you right now, but this is going to resonate. This is kind of heavy. I'm digging this thing. This might disappear, Father. All right. There was once a prince who had an easy life of luxury before him, guaranteed. But his aunt, who envied his royal status, placed a curse on him. The curse was that he'd forget his royalty. Okay, worst aunt ever. As he grew up, no effort of his parents or subjects could make him feel the weight of his dignity. They were heartbroken and confused. In one scene, the prince, who had become a teenager, broke out of the palace, wandered the streets, and ran into a bully. As the bully, who was 100 pounds heavier than the prince, raised his fist to knock him out, the prince cowered and said, "Take my ring! Take my ring! Just leave me alone!" The bully ripped the ring off his finger and looked at it. And his grin turned into a look of horror when he saw it was the royal ring. He dropped it and ran for fear of his life. The prince, still under his aunt's curse, just stood there, confused. You see, everybody saw the prince's dignity. That is, everybody except for the prince himself. He never overcame the curse. His heartbroken parents never knew why. For all their love, he never seemed to rest in his worth. He spent his whole life worried about not having enough, even though he had an entire kingdom to inherit. He spent all his time trying to get everyone else's approval, even though he had royal blood. He didn't know who he was. Question is, do you? Happy Solemnity of Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. Live out your royal identity in Him. God bless you guys. And pray for our Reboot events all around the world. See you next time.